Welcome to Bay Yard's Finest, bringing you the finest Batman, Superman, pop culture from Metropolis. I'm Josh from Bay Yard Productions. Here's with me as always.
Hello, Matt. What's up?
Okay, awesome. We did this before. My audio wasn't working, so I just want to kind of get through this. So, BSBS today. I don't really have any.
Nope, same here.
We put a poll on Instagram asking the audience what they wanted us to talk about in future episodes. Robbie wanted us to talk about WandaVision.
The rest of WandaVision.
We already did WandaVision. I guess there's only three episodes left. We might get into that at some point. I still even haven't even finished the last episode. That's the only thing I have to see of that show. Yeah, I heard it got good. I don't know. I mean, it's good. I just didn't get really that. I like it, but I wasn't like so invested in it either. You know, I enjoyed it. I think I more watched
it. Understand what's going to happen for the next six day, like expansion of Marvel. That's only it. Huh. I wasn't super excited for it, but they give Wanda some extra like ability crap. So.
Yeah, I mean, we probably would talk about it on a BSBS segment, just saying, like, when I watched the last episode, but, you know, we're not going to do a full-out episode because we kind of already did that. You can check out us discussing the first six episodes a couple episodes back. We're talking about that and a 1985 film called Brazil. That's a mind trip in itself. So, go back and watch that if you're interested in our thoughts on WandaVision. We also had a question. I think we'll save this for the next episode so Matt and I can kind of contemplate on the answer. I might pronounce this Instagram hashtag wrong, and if I do, I apologize. We got a message from AB Abdullah Hadnan.a asked us how we would incorporate Superman into the Christopher Nolan Batman universe. Like Matt was saying prior when we recorded before, that it's going to be a whole, basically that'll be a whole discussion almost in itself. So we're going to save that for the next episode, at least maybe for the BS portion. That'll be the whole BSBS portion of our episode, is that discussion itself. But I have to kind of think about that because it's been a long time since I even seen any of the Dark Knight movies at all, or Batman Begins or any of that. It's been a couple of years since I watched those films.
It'd be a weird.
I want to do that. I do want to do that answer justice. It would just take me some time to really think about an answer.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that's a really interesting concept. For a future episode, I wanted to discuss how we would fix Batman vs. Superman, our interpretations of that film. So it kind of parallels that idea. So we'll see. We'll see what, you know, when we get into that discussion. But yeah, definitely next time we'll talk. We'll fill that answer. So other BSBS, the only thing I want to discuss, there's a little teaser trailer for the new Ghostbusters Afterlife. With featuring Paul Rudd and Gremlin Stay Puft Marshmallow Men, where they're like little baby mini marshmallows, and they're great. They're like impaling each other. They're burning on grills. It's amazing. I'm really excited.
It's just screwed up but fun.
They're basically gremlins if they're Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. True. And I'm pretty excited for it. I think it'll be a fun time. And Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son, who directed the original Ghostbusters, is taking the helm of Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I'm actually really interested in checking out. And also, the original composer, Elmer Bernstein, who did the first Ghostbusters, the superior soundtrack to the two Ghostbusters original films, his son is actually taking the helm of doing the score for the new film. So it's basically like passing down from generation. You know, their sons are taking the helm, which I find pretty interesting. Kind of makes it a little more authentic. And I think it's in the right hands. I'm more excited for this than I was for the Justice League Zack Snyder's crap that we got. I much rather see Ghostbusters than what True. We, but that's we got some time in the future for that.
But from seeing these, like this, the trailer and the teaser that we have gotten the like last couple like months,
yeah,
it does have a more promising look, and the reboot looks a lot better than the freaking other reboot they did.
Well, it's continuing in the original universe, so it's not like back.
Yeah, it's not like a whole reboot. It's just like more.
Yeah.
But it is like a more nowadays reboot to it. But like in the trailer, they show a little bit of old footage.
Soft reboot, I would say.
Yeah.
It's not like
they show some old footage. That's fine. It's kind of nice seeing that. Instead of like just reestablishing the Ghostbusters. They've already been the Ghostbusters. They already exist.
Yeah, it's basically Ghostbusters 3. They're continuing the story with a different generation. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that movie. I think it'll be a good time. So, Matt, do you want to get it? Do you have any more BSBS before we get into the main attractions?
Not really, no.
Not really. Okay, so I guess that's a no. So, we are going to be discussing two Batman animated segments. First on our list, we have Batman animated series Night of the Ninja, which is the 35th episode of Batman animated series. Originally aired October 26, 1992. It revolves around a former fellow martial arts student of Bruce Wayne, who comes to Gotham City to get revenge against the Playboy millionaire because he got him kicked out of the dojo when they're both training in Japan. So Batman, as you know, greatest fighter of all time, travels all over the world trying to discover new techniques in martial arts and fighting techniques that no one would really know. So this is part of his time training as a samurai, and I find it goes back to the beginnings of Batman training and how he kind of got started, which if you think about it, this is prior to Batman Begins, so this is the only answer you ever really get in any Batman medium besides maybe the comic books about Batman's more of his true origins and how he trained to be the greatest crime fighter of all time. So, Matt, what do you think of Night of the Ninja?
Night of the Ninja, it was good, but it wasn't like my favorite one out of the bundle. Mm-hmm. It was nice. For me, it was better seeing the past stuff than the actual stuff that's going on for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, including some Robin stuff, but Robin did screw up a little bit in that movie, in this episode.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely the flashbacks are more interesting, and you get to see the dynamic between a former student that basically he was the foe of Bruce Wayne throughout the training. Like, he would always outbeat him, he would best him in hand-to-hand combat, and then it's basically Batman realizing that this ninja can possibly outcompete him in a one-on-one combat. And the first fight they fight, he is dressed up as the Dark Knight, as Batman, on the rooftops of one of the Wayne Enterprises, like museums. So they have the one hand-to-hand combat. Kyoten, I believe that's his name. They have the hand-to-hand combat, and it's like basically like a thumbprint. He realizes that Batman is Bruce Wayne because they fought before. So, like, you understand that there's some history behind these two characters. Summer Gleason is also trying to figure out the connection with these ninja heists and Bruce Wayne because this ninja is only targeting Bruce Wayne and his companies. So there's obviously some correlation with that. And Summer Gleason spying on Bruce Wayne like a hawk, trying to discover, you know, what is the connection? He went to Japan at some point in his past life. Like, why is this man with such a clean slate so mysterious? And she's trying to dig more information on that.
I have a question. With this Summer lady, Gleason, Mm-hmm. Has she always been there, or is she just there from this episode?
No, she's because, always been like, there. She was there from the beginning. She was in, I think, her first appearance was Christmas with the Joker, which is like basically like the second or third episode.
Or, I mean, like in like the comics and stuff, or she's just added into the series.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't
because
I,
she feels just like a copy of like Lois Lane. In like a way,
she's like episode. Yeah, she's more of a news reporter. She basically kind of has the filled in niche of Lois Lane, but she's a news reporter who reports on television instead of the newspaper. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Summer Gleason was a previous character in other Batman mediums. I'm not sure if they created her for the animated series itself.
Because there's a point when she, like, states, like, oh, yeah, Bruce Wayne's such a freaking, a Boy Scout. He can't, there's something, there wouldn't be, like, something with him added with this ninja or something like that. And I was like, that's a Lois Lane line for a Superman thing.
Yeah, it's they definitely have that kind of chemistry. I mean, it's more, so I guess she was created for the animated series.
She is almost a copy.
It was based on, it seems like, more Vicky Vale, which that makes sense. It was just kind of their own.
So why not just use Vicky?
I don't know why they didn't use Vicky Vale. I guess they're trying to differentiate themselves from the 89 film, so they created their own character. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. I like her as a character. She's kind of spunky. She's, she's interesting. Like, she's kind of sometimes shows up as a love interest with Bruce Wayne, but not really. There's just more, just kind of tension between them than anything. But she's a good added-on character for the series because she progresses on information about Batman. She's trying to figure out what's going on in the city, and she's like the go-to person. She just kind of gives out all the information throughout the series. Whenever there's a news report, basically. The more interesting stuff about this episode was the previous events that, you know, working with his sensei and have him, Bruce Wayne, and Kiroten butting heads throughout their training, and basically Kiroten having the upper hand on Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne sorts him out. He sees him trying to steal a 500-year-old samurai sword from the dojo, and Batman, that's how he gets sought out, and he gets kicked out of the dojo. So that's why Kiroten is trying to sabotage Wayne Enterprises, because he has past history, and he's the one, he sees Bruce Wayne as the reason why he got kicked out of the dojo. And he said,
like, what took him so long?
I don't know. Like, maybe he had to get money for a plane ticket overseas, you know, that's why he was in Japan. So it took him a while to save up.
Ninja, he could have stolen like a couple items and got over there.
Well, you don't really know how much time has passed. Obviously, Bruce Wayne's a older character between the flashbacks and now. So there's some.
It definitely made him younger, and they changed his voice slightly to make him seem
younger. I'm sure Kiroten was trying to grab more items and experience, I guess, to combat his former foe. So I don't know. That's not really a, it's really a minor nitpick right there, like that it took him like years. I mean, it's fine, you know.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I'm pissed off once I figured out all my shit. Like, if it took him only a few years, if I were to, like, figure it out, I would go over there and find him. And then ruin his life.
Well, he didn't know Bruce Wayne was Batman. He just found out.
He was just trying to ruin Bruce Wayne. So that's the main thing. He's his main person is Bruce Wayne, not Batman.
Yeah. Like I said, he was trying to get, he didn't have money. He was trying to get the funds throughout stealing these artifacts throughout his life. And he finally got the money to go to, you know, the States. So he made it.
Okay.
Yeah, this episode I like thoroughly more than the next fucking thing we're going to talk about, next animated subject that we're going to talk about. I thought this was much better. I thought the connection from Batman being a ninja, the connection there was much more authentic. You understood that he trained previously with ninjas, and there's more of a tie with his past. It's not just like Batman just thrown into ancient Japan, which we are going to get into with the next segment. It's a part of his past, and he has some past history with it. And I think it's more like winds up with Bruce Wayne's character and how Batman kind of grows as a character and progresses to be Cape Crusader, crime fighter in Gotham City. So he had trained every martial arts, and it shows his past. And this, like I said, this is before Batman Begins. So this is the only time you really get, at least at this point in 1992, of Batman's origins and how he trained to become the greatest crime fighter of the city. So I think it's pretty cool that it shows his past. And throughout the animated series, they kind of show his origins, but out of order. It would just kind of be like, you know, episodes scattered here or there. Like, you kind mm-hmm. of figure out, like, the progression of Bruce Wayne. I know you could find compilations on YouTube of it, like, being linear and, like, just cutting out all the flashbacks and stuff and making it, you know, just one complete kind of storyline like that. I find it interesting how you kind of, like, pick up pieces here and there of Batman's history throughout the series. It's not just, like, they just flat out tell you. You just kind of have to discover it for yourself, which makes it a little more interesting than just like them linear, like having it linear, like telling it to you. Yeah, exactly. So I find this a lot better. I wouldn't say this is one of my favorite episodes. It's above average, I would say. I would probably give it like a 7 out of 10. I know I know he shows up again in another episode, and I was combining both those episodes into one episode in my head, and I was like, oh, where's the big fight by the volcano? And I was like, oh, wait, I guess that's a different episode because it's over already. So Kiroken, he ends up escaping the grasp of Batman, but Batman does out-compete him in the second fight. So they're okay. Basically equals. He gets defeated in the first fight. In the second fight, Bruce Wayne wins. So it's up to the next confrontation to really decide who is the greater fighter.
Kind of open ended. This episode was kind of like cheap because he ended up using that freaking that smoke, that gas mm-hmm. that made him all dizzy and all that shit. So like, and it's kind of like a cheap win.
Yeah, that's true.
But he did kind of have the upper hand a little, but like it was just still cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would say if like they didn't give him that gun that shoots the gas out, I think it would have been more of a fair fight later
mm-hmm.
if it continued right. But yeah, he still got the stupid win.
They even mentioned that in the episode that he is a ninja and he uses like not traditional ways to win in a fight. Mm-hmm. He just like any way possible, he will defeat his opponent even without, you know, the code of the samurai. They will work outside of that code. So I find this more interesting just of the retrospect of the background of Batman before Batman Begins. And it's pretty cool. I like how it shows his history scattered throughout the show. So, Matt, do you have any thoughts about...
Not really. Batman, I don't know, I'm rating this one out of the episodes I've watched already recently, in the last couple like months, I'll rate this around like a 6 to me. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my favorites.
It's not the best episode, but I think it's above average. I give it a 7, just more of like the flashbacks in the history, and you kind of connect more of the dots of what happened to Bruce Wayne throughout the years. And I think it's like much not needed, but it's interesting background that they set up in this episode. And it's cool how they tell it. Yeah, so I give this a 7. So, Matt, do you want to take away on Batman Ninja 2018?
Yeah, let's do this. Okay, so this part of the podcast, we're going to be discussing Batman Ninja. Came out in 2018. As I believe it's the only DC anime-styled movie.
From what? So, that's not entirely true, but go ahead. Not entirely
true?
Yeah.
I know of that. I said I know of, so. I know of. It's basically... The story takes place is that Batman gets his way, teleports everybody back to really good. Is my little thing my internet thing's going just crazy
keep,
here.
Just keep talking.
Okay. Sorry, no, my internet thing gave me like a triangle. So that's a new thing for me.
Illuminati, Matt. All right, go ahead. Cool.
So Grodd ended up getting his way with the time traveling thing, sends him back to feudal Japan, and scatters everybody in the Arkham Asylum or outside the or like in like the inner gates of like Arkham Asylum in different years of feudal Japan within at least 2 years of each other. So, and then it finds out when Batman shows up in feudal Japan, Joker has taken over the feudal Japan location that he lands in area, and so has the remaining other big Batman villains, Poison Ivy, Penguin, Deathstroke, Two-Face, and yeah, that was and Joker. That's basically it. Those are five. What General Grodd? Oh, well, yeah, General Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd.
He is end up being He's just chilling in the woods, making his monkey army, waiting for the perfect time to spring his action. And we end up meeting Catwoman and the rest of Batman squad. That's Nightwing, Robin, Red Robin, the Red Hood, and Alfred. Later on in the series, and they have this ninja squad, the Bat Ninjas, I believe. And they're planning to take back the throne from Joker and find a way back to present time, Gotham, so they can return everybody back to prison. And a lot of bullshit happens that makes Batman realize all of his tactics that he's doing to do this doesn't work out, and has to take a partnership with Grodd, and Grodd backstabs. All this other crap happens, but they end up finding their way back to 21st century and saving the day. But the storyline, this animation of this this movie is kind of a little different. Have you guys ever watched this anime called JoJo's Bizarre Adventures? You will have a kick with it because that's how it's designed. Because the people. Yeah, I know you never watched it, Josh.
I don't know what that is. I don't even know what you said. It's
an anime
What is it called?
It's really questionable with a lot of things. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. JoJo's
Bizarre Adventure. Okay.
Yes.
It's
on Netflix. It's on Crunchyroll and. Yeah, Crunchyroll. I think it's on Funimation too, but I think on Crunchyroll and Funimation you will find it only in Japanese. But
yeah, I thought the animation was the best part of the whole thing. The story was lackluster. It didn't really make any sense. I had more questions than answers. I felt like the I wish the animation was more traditionally drawn than like computer animation. I know it's like just an aesthetic that I enjoy more than you know, computer animation like that, where it's like half drawn, half computer anime. I think it looks a lot more smoother and tighter if it's hand drawn, but obviously it's going to take a lot more time and effort to really do it all hand drawn. But saying that, it definitely, the animation's pretty good looking. I think it's just looks a lot more fluid if it's hand drawn and kind of see the human touch.
I 100% agree with you with that, but I would say this is probably one of my favorite CGI and 2D designs.
Right.
Than most things I've seen. So like,
it's for not anime or general
that way.
For anime or in general?
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of anime are trying to go towards the CGI way in most of their shows. But a lot of them are still kicking with just 2D styling. But they have CGI with battles.
Yeah, I thought the backgrounds were like the most interesting looking aspect of like the best looking aspect of the whole movie. The animation was okay. The designs were just okay. I didn't like the designs of the Robins when they were in ancient Japan. I thought, especially Tim Drake's Robin, where he looked like shaved, like
that was Avatar the
Last Airbender. It looked really stupid. He had like a ponytail, and then like rest of his head was shaved. It looked really stupid. So everyone goes back in time. And you're like, what's going on? I guess Gorilla Grodd was trying to send all the inmates of Arkham back in time so he can take over modern Gotham. Somehow Batman foils the whole altercation, and then everyone goes back in time. But for some reason, people go back in time before Batman gets there for some reason. That's not really totally explained. It's just like Batman shows up like a couple years later after like Catwoman, Alfred, the Joker, all the rogues galleries. And I thought the rogues galleries were fucking pointless. The only one that served any purpose was Gorilla Grodd and the Joker, especially the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Gorilla Grodd was there, you know, to send everyone back in time, you know, and he wanted to turn everyone into apes of the past to basically take over for a human future, which actually, you know, makes sense for his setup and what he wants to do. The Penguin was pointless. He was barely in the film. Two-Face was pointless, barely in the film. Poison Ivy, pointless. Deathstroke, pointless. They were all, like, useless characters, and I don't even understand why they were even in the segment. It was just, like, to show them in samurai outfits and then give all the Robins someone to fight for literally 5 seconds at the end of the film, at the end of the conflict. It was really dumb. And I think just they could have just had the Joker and Harley Quinn and it would have been fine. You know, Harley Quinn, the Joker, and Gorilla Grodd, that's all they really needed. All the other rogues were just completely pointless to the story. They didn't progress anything at all.
From my snooping around, it finds out that there's a lot of, like, issues when they're producing this movie,
mm-hmm.
where DC and the creating team of the animation and the storyline.
Yeah.
So, like, supposedly they were discussing throwing out ideas, and DC wasn't liking some of the ideas of the movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, all the crazy ideas that they came up with, DC liked that had no real plot filling, and all the good ideas that were actually plot filling weren't making it to the table. So DC was like being like stupid with choices of what was going on, including what the dialogue. I remember you before we started doing the podcast.
Yeah, like the dialogue was pretty bad.
You did not like the dialogue.
I thought it was something to do with translation issues, which you did confirm.
Yeah, so it finds out DC did not like they wanted to change the original Japanese script. So they did. So they changed a lot of things. And if you watch the Japanese edition, it actually makes a lot more sense in the movie because they have better dialogue and better setups. And they cut away some stupid shit that the Joker says.
Yeah, and other people Joker says really stupid.
And things. So there was like a point when Batman goes to the Arkham castle, and he's like spying on like who's there because he doesn't know what's going on, and he finds Joker, and Joker shows behind him. The whole scene in American, the freaking Joker tells this basically titles himself and all that stuff, and then states how he likes the sushi in Japan because it's Japan, and Japan in the Japanese edition he does the titling himself. But he says, I like this actual being in the past because it suits me better. And all this other junk, and he doesn't state sushi and all this crap.
Yeah, I thought that was a stupid better line. Situation. He's like, oh, sushi's better with some sauce, and then he sprays his acid flour at him. I'm like, okay. And then right after that, he's throwing ninja stars at Batman or something. He's like jumping through the trees. And he's like, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's some blade projectile thing. And he's throwing them at Batman. He's jumping around. And he's saying, oh, you, I don't even know what the Joker really says verbatim. But he's saying, you're killing all these plants because, you know, with all these sharpened fans. And Batman had this stupid line where he's like, you're the one throwing them. Like, okay. It was so stupid and petty. Like, Batman shouldn't say anything like that. He shouldn't go like, well, you were the one who did
different
it.
In Japan. I mean,
I'm sure he did.
He does say something different, but there's a whole different dialogue of them talking about, was it primary school for some reasons instead? But there's like that part that was kind of different to the storyline, that whole line set up.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a whole different line set up for that, too. And then there's the part when they end up finding Alfred, and Alfred, like, Alfred's talking about the maintenance of the Batcave, that's the hut they had, and all this other junk. It said, like, Alfred's saying, oh, I always wanted to come to Japan, but in our time, so I can try this one dish with miso. And instead, if it's like, it's Alfred telling Batman how much, like, all about the Batmobile, how much effort he was putting into to try to keep it in maintenance, including, like, there's a part when, like, Batman's like, can it run? And he's like, well, if you don't trust my judgment, then no, I wouldn't recommend you driving the damn thing.
Yeah.
And cannons come in and destroy the freaking building.
Yeah, the Batmobile doesn't really last too long after the fact. You realize that Joker made a giant Megazord out of an ancient temple, which didn't make any sense. I get it, you know, it's anime, they're all about like things not making sense, but with Batman you kind of have to make things make sense for the character to work. And I wish with it was just Batman who went back in time and he had to figure his way back to the future basically. And he had to get back to a specific time to stop Grodd from basically, you know, fucking with the space-time continuum. I would have enjoyed that a lot better. And then if Batman just went back in time by himself, he would have to fight off, like, actual ninjas and, like, basically, like, appropriate to the culture of ancient Japan. So, like, he would be kind of like fish out of water. And if, like, he's fighting off samurai or ninjas from the past. Like, they could have even just been ancestors of, like, rogues from Gotham City. You know, I thought that would have been a little bit more interesting than just kind of everyone just getting thrown back in the past. And he's fighting the same villains that he would have fought in present time. So it doesn't really make a difference what setting he's in. He's still fighting the same people. And it didn't make any sense how all these rogues galleries would take over sectors of ancient Japan. You know, Joker, I could see him like overthrowing some, you know, small militia or anything like that. But the fucking Penguin, who's all business savvy and just like has people underlings under him, like doing the dirty work. He is a pudgy, fat bird man who has no combat skills whatsoever. So him being a samurai warrior is so stupid. It makes no sense to the character, and I hated it.
The thing, they didn't do that really with him either. They just gave him his umbrella still as a weapon. He still had an umbrella. He never gave him a sword.
If he, like, took over in ancient Japan, they should have showed him having, like, maybe showing him with the umbrella and, like, mm-hmm. he had an automatic weapon, then, yeah, sure. Then he could take over ancient Japan with just, like, a Tommy gun.
I would say there probably was an idea for that, but it hit the cutting room floor in the idea.
Yeah. I would be more interested in how the villains kind of gain control of these regions, like them starting out and like gaining control, and how they basically gained all this power and what sectors mm-hmm. they are at. You kind of just have to pick up the pieces yourself and figure out on your own. I didn't think that was very interesting. I was just kind of like, okay, they just took over Japan. You don't really know why, whatever. Batman's here now. It just seemed too far removed from Batman. So, like, it kind of seemed like, for what they're going for, it kind of was holding them back, the whole Batman concept, mm-hmm. like, kind of just make your own thing. This movie cool. was basically Army of Darkness, where someone from present times is sent back to the past and becomes like a godlike figure, like the savior from the skies, which is mm-hmm. what happens in Army of Darkness. And like fucking Ninja Turtles 3. It's like Ninja Turtles 3 meets Army of Darkness because they go to ancient Japan. And Ninja Turtles 3 is not a good movie, but I enjoy it better than this movie.
That's just hard.
It's more fun. I didn't really like this movie. And then at the end, I just wanted it to end. I'm like, everyone's just fighting each other. They're just fighting the rogues. All right, I get it. Like, Robin's fighting fucking Deathstroke, which I don't even think he had any lines. Deathstroke was, like, basically you blanking forget that he's even in this.
Like, they kind of made him pointless because, like, Deathstroke is actually like a swordsman / weapon specialist.
Yeah, so, if it was Batman and Deathstroke sent back in the past, that would have been interesting. I would have enjoyed that if it was like their dynamic because they're both fighters with swords.
I wouldn't even make him a warlord. I would have him as like a more a bounty hunter.
Yeah, anything
in sorts of a way, and like use his skills in the midst of ruining Batman's plot to take back Japan.
Right,
the Joker.
Or yeah,
but just, like they kind of just like just let them be. But like, I really want to know the ideas that the screenwriter was having.
Yeah, from what you were explaining, the Japanese version sounds more interesting.
It the Japanese edition's a lot.
I wish
more,
we watched that.
Dialogue and storyline is a lot better.
Dialogue is really bad.
It's a lot better and like told wise, and the English edition just got really stupidized. It just like they just dumbed it, add more crap to it, and just made it worse.
Yeah, I didn't.
And like, it doesn't flow right. But like, it just like the way I've been reading all these articles, it finds out like the director for the animation and the screenwriting and the scripting, he didn't like really working with the DC people in a way because it felt like they were just critiquing too much.
Probably
of what he was
putting
to do.
Too many limitations on these characters.
Yeah, so like, it didn't make it. I feel like I kind of want to see if they.
I felt like that was the stuff that was holding it back too.
What?
I thought all the DC baggage was the stuff that was holding this thing back. Like basically, yeah. Just make it its own characters. You know, I think the Batman concept didn't really work with this universe. I think it can. I think anime and Batman can work, but this, I don't think it really hit the goal.
I think it can. It's just DC needs to lean away and just let the people that specialize in what they do take the reins for a bit and see what happens. You can, like, critique a little, but don't critique the whole thing.
Yeah.
Make it bad.
So, there is a Batman. I don't know what studio made it, but there is a Batman. At least the animation is anime. It's still in English. It's called Batman Gotham Knight, which takes place right after The Dark Knight. It's set into the Christopher Nolan Batman universe. And there's at least three or four different storylines, and they're all different, like, anime styles throughout each story. Each storyline kind of has their own style throughout it. And I thought that was a better use of anime and Batman than this was, because the stylization actually improved the story and how it was told, because it showed the movements of how like Batman would work in this kind of feel. And I thought it worked much better. I would highly more if you're looking for Batman in anime, I would highly more recommend Batman Gothamite over Batman Ninja. That was far superior with the storylines, and they're like short animated segments throughout the film, and it takes place in the Christopher Nolan universe, which is pretty interesting. And they use Kevin Conroy as the voice actor for the Batman. So I would recommend that over Batman Ninja. I think we'll have to talk about that in the future. It's pretty good. That'll be another episode. But yeah, I wish if they're gonna use ancient Japan, you know, write the storylines in the kind of restrict yourself like what ancient Japan like technology would have. Obviously they wouldn't have these big Megazord technology within these temples at that point in time. I don't even know when it's supposed to take place, maybe like the 1500s to the 1800s, somewhere between
right
there.
Before the, what is it? The Industrial Revolution. So
yeah,
it's like a few years, at least a few decades beforehand.
And
of that, I believe Batman just told us.
So at some point, Joker gets amnesia from a giant explosion, and the animation changes for just literally one scene, for one segment, and it kind of throws you off. You're like, why is this a different animation? So mm-hmm. Batman finds this couple who fits the description of Joker and Harley Quinn.
Batman doesn't find them first. It's Red Hood that finds them off of rumors and then decides to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Well, and then Batman comes in, he finds him, and he's like, oh, to Red Hood, he's basically telling Red Hood, oh, Joker forgot who he is, he's a good person now, leave him alone. Literally 5 minutes later, Joker smells a flower, somehow he hypnotizes himself to forget all the events that happened, but once he smells this flower, he remembers he's a Joker again, and becomes insane. That whole segment was just pointless to me. Most of this was pointless to me. This whole movie was pretty pointless. You just want to see Batman do some cool samurai stuff, which they did in the beginning. I was more interested once it was Batman kind of isolated alone, like by himself, like what is he going to do? And then once they brought fucking Alfred and Catwoman and then the Robins, it just made it less interesting. It was like, oh, well, he basically has all the tech that he had in the future and his gang, like all the all his stops basically. Like I want to see Batman strip
all his technology just basically didn't work at all.
Well, he had his Batmobile. Destroyed. He had his Batmobile. What? He might as well
Batmobile
be
got
in the future. Yeah, it got destroyed in like
Batmobile
5 seconds.
Destroyed.
It got destroyed because they're fighting a stupid fucking robot that didn't make any sense in the timeline. So the whole thing didn't make any sense. And I know I sound a lot more harsh. Like, I don't think it's terrible. I'm just more mad and disappointed that I think it could have been a lot more better than it was. It had a lot of potential, and I don't think it hit the mark, like, at all. And more of the story elements, like, are questionable. That once you add in time travel, like set some rules, and then you know I'll get behind it. But there's just so many questions, like them going to ancient Japan. They're there for fucking a couple of years, maybe like even a decade. Like all these rogues galleries are taking over sectors of Japan. How is this going to affect the human race and in modern times? Like there's all these implications that you're like, whoa, what the fuck? And it just doesn't add up. And Penguin being a samurai master is stupid to me. Like I said, all the rogues galleries are pointless besides maybe Grodd and what the fuck's his name in the Joker. and then everyone else was like pointless. I think it would have been much interesting, more interesting story if it was Batman just sent back in time. He's stripped down. He has no gadgets, and he has to figure out how to defeat the enemy, basically with his wits and his, you know, and his training, you know. And I think that would have been a much more interesting storyline than just these mech suits from Japanese temples. That
in the movie.
Not really. For like maybe 5 seconds after they blow up the whole after they have these giant robots at the end of the film. They
The villains have the giant robots.
Yeah, they have the giant robots. The heroes
don't have jack shit.
Yeah, they have a giant, they have a whole army. He has all the Robins. He has literally everything. And he has an army of bat ninjas. He becomes a giant Batman. So like he didn't even need a giant mech suit. He becomes a giant Batman with a bunch of flying bats. And at this point I was just tapped out. I just wanted the movie to end. I was like, all right, I get it. They're going to fight each other, and they don't even show them going back to modern times, which it doesn't really matter, because it would just had more questions than answers. Like, how would this affect ancient history? How this would affect human history with all these rogues galleries going back like thousands of years and just basically fucking up the space-time continuum. I didn't really enjoy this. It was fine. I don't recommend watching it. I'd recommend if you're gonna watch it, watch the Japanese version. Watch it with subtitles. Don't watch this one. Watch that one. I'm sure it's better.
It is.
And even then, I don't even think it will be that great because it still doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes more sense with the dialogue they're using in that one. A lot more sense. And they cut out a lot of the bullshit and all the stupid shit they say.
I just think Batman stripped down to, like, basically his wits and his muscle would have been more interesting than basically him getting his whole package, you know, sent back in time with him. If it was just Batman isolated, I think it would have been a more interesting story.
No, I agree with you on that point, but, like, it's just, like, the device I would think would just be like, I think Rod had it more set for him going back until they hit it to make it everybody goes back in time. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have been a smaller like burst of energy that goes out if it, Rod had his way properly.
So yeah, be like a smaller even if it was Joker, Grodd, and Batman, I think that would have been fine if they just kept it those three instead of throwing everyone and doing nothing with the characters like Poison Ivy. Like I said, they're all pointless besides Joker and Grodd. They don't do anything.
I know.
Why are they in the movie? They do nothing. They add nothing.
Just to have some big name titles villains.
It's stupid. It doesn't add anything to the storyline. I don't recommend this. Watch the Japanese dub. I'm sure it's better. And if you want to watch a Batman anime that's actually makes sense and good, watch Batman Gotham Knight from 2008. Okay?
Okay.
I would rate this a 5. It's just average to me. It hits all like the basic lines. It's pretty predictable what's going to happen. And it's just adequate. It just barely makes the line for me. It's fine. It's just fine, which is almost the worst thing a film can do because it's not so bad that I can really, you know, it's really memorable. It's just so middle down the road that it's pretty forgettable. Besides the animation and some of the quirks with like the Joker and stuff, but yeah, the storyline itself was pretty subpar. The monkey, Robin's pet monkey, I thought he was Gorilla Grodd's minion, and he was just like doing like a spec ops on Robin and Batman's gang, you know, trying to get some intel. But I guess he was actually friends with Robin.
I think that's how it started, but then it ends up being later
on. They
don't
really explain it. It doesn't even seem like they have a connection, the monkey and Grodd, at all. I don't even remember the monkey's name. It's something stupid.
Yeah, I forget.
They said it a couple of times, and Robin's like, "All right, well, I gotta leave you here, monkey." And then that's kind of how the movie ends. It's pretty close to the ending, and I'm like, "Okay, that was pointless."
there's a lot of just pointless for Josh here. there's a lot of pointless.
It was just adequate. The animation was the best part of it. The backgrounds, I like the backgrounds a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see. This is something I recommend putting on while you're doing something else. Put it on in the background while you're cleaning your room, while you're, you know, doing some chores. You know, you don't really need to pay attention to the story. Just watch the animation. It's fun. The bat ninjas that weren't like his underlings, they were okay. I wish they had more of a dynamic on kind of like how they became like Batman worshippers, basically. They kind of explain it, but I guess it wasn't really important enough.
Put together for a minute, for an hour and 25-minute movie.
I think they should have cut that. They should have cut out all the fat, get rid of all the rogues that are pointless, you know, and just simplify a story. I think it would have been a lot more interesting, especially if you have limited time to tell this story. You know, if you're gonna do a series. Then, you know, throw all these rogues in there and then have each episode, like, kind of build up to combating the Joker, like, fighting each sector. That would have been more interesting if they did it that way. But if you're going to make it more one movie, then just stick to one villain. Don't just shoehorn all these villains for no reason. Just for them, just to give Robin to do something. I don't think any of the Robins were really necessary in the movie. Maybe have one Robin, you know, just keep one, not all of them, because then it gives too much stock to Batman. Like, he has too much of an upper hand when he has every single Robin, you know, and his technology and Alfred and Catwoman and an army of bat ninjas. It's just too much. He has too much going behind him. He should be like stripped down a little bit and he should be out of his element. I feel like he's too much in his element at this point. Because he has everything. It's like he might as well be fighting Gotham. He's fine.
Okay.
So that's all I have to say about this thing.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I'm all fine with it. You basically destroy this movie with your fucking review. So anything that I will say that I enjoyed, Alex,
well, go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts about it. I want to hear what you liked about it because I like the animation.
I do like the whole thing. Is like I do like the animation, and the animation is made by the Japanese developers that make the openings for the JoJo TV
JoJo series, Rabbit
animation series. I already told you about, but I actually enjoy that series, so I'm more like in tone with the art style. Question the art style of it. So, yeah, and like I do like some of the like different designs and like giving it more of like the anime style and like ways of it them flowing it and then just normally giving it the tone of like a standard animated show. It's a little bit something different, but I like Josh is saying, like, yeah, the story is kind of filled with a lot of crap. They could have got rid of some of the things or worked on characters to make it a lot better and enjoy it, but I'm just lost in thought right now. But I would like to say there's a part in the movie that actually, like, in the movie, like, the states, like, Batman is, like, not giving up, but he's realized all of his ideas of technology is kind of, like, pointless now that he has to go medievalish in a
way.
They
kind of pointed out a little bit, but I wish they dove further into it.
Yeah, but like in the what's it called in the English edition, he kind of like says like, "Oh, I got my friends and family and this ninja group." In the Japanese edition, he's just like, "I'm not saying I'm backing down." As Nightwing comes up and says, "Are you saying you give up?" He's like, "I'm not giving up. I still got me, and that's all I need." But he does turn around and says, "And I got you guys, but it's really just me that's going to be running this." And he just uses them as an extent, like more of like you're saying, his arsenal, instead of making like, in the other one, everyone's just flowing as a team. It's really Batman supposedly commanding this army setup.
Mm-hmm.
He's using them to set off whatever ideas he wants them to. Like the ninjas were trying to do something over there and all this other junk. And them gaining the army of monkeys is more of a surprise from Grodd, because they were expecting to get Grodd and have him give him like a monkey army.
I did. You know what I did like about Grodd? He was using like those hot spots, like not hot spots. They're like hot, what are they called?
The bathing pool.
They're like heating. Yeah, they're like bathing pools. What the hell are they called? They're like heat pools. Wow. Oh, man. No, I had it.
Hot springs.
Hot springs. That's what it is. Yeah, there's hot springs. There's natural hot springs in Japan. And the Japanese macaque in Japan actually uses these hot springs mm-hmm. in the winter to warm their body temperatures. So I thought that was kind of neat that they tied Gorilla Grodd with the hot springs. I'm like, oh, that's something actually, you know, primates that live in that region actually use. So I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I wish they did more connections with that. And I wish, like, that the history time jump aspect had more stakes. Maybe there's this emperor who, you know, leads Japan, and if, like, the Joker murders him or something, then it would cause a chain of events that completely decimates the history of mankind. Like something mm-hmm. would happen. Like if it's just like a, like basically like a time bomb ticking, like there's like a timer ticking, like if Joker kills this guy, like within this time frame, then we're doomed to destruction or whatever. It will ruin the history of mankind. Something dire like that.
Okay.
And then if like Batman's trying to race the Joker to find this emperor before he does to save him versus him killing him, you know, basically there's something happening with the timeline. This actually has an effect. There's consequences to them jumping back in time. But instead, it's just nothing. They might as well just be in Gotham City. It didn't even seem like they mm-hmm. the setting changed any aspect of the story.
Well, if they continued on, like hopefully, like if they didn't do an like animated short like story afterwards, we could have maybe saw some effects happening. But we just ended off with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but it's back that, I think that future. Should have been the whole.
I know.
Point of the whole movie would have been something dire is going to happen if the Joker kills this one person or something.
Oh, but this is to fit it in with this movie's storyline because we didn't get that.
There was no story. The story was Batman goes back in time. Joker's trying to kill Batman. Okay. What happens in regular time? Batman's in Gotham. Joker tries to kill Batman. It's the same story. The setting doesn't change the story. It didn't have any effect on it. It's just mm-hmm. the same stuff that we see all the time, just with robots. You know, it I don't know. It just had a lot of. It had a lot more potential, I think, and especially with the animated style and, you know, having different writers. I just wish they kind of did something else.
Well, they, like I stated in the last 20, 30 minutes, they did have other ideas, and DC said no to them.
Yeah.
So DC kind of like effed it up.
So it's kind of DC's fault. I would rather have them kind of go all out, you know, completely change the characters, because that's kind of what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be like what was that movie with Batman where he's in ancient, like, not in London in the 1800s, basically during the Industrial Revolution.
When he's trying to figure out the freaking Jack the Ripper?
Yeah, when he's trying to hunt down Jack the Ripper. I thought it was just going to be like that, basically. But instead, Batman's from Japan, from ancient Japan instead, and there's no time travel aspect at all. You know, if you're going to do time travel, use it to the stakes of your story. Don't just kind of have it in there just because, you know, you can do it.
You can have it.
Yeah. I would, if they, you know, did what I would have been more interested if they had the stakes with the time travel. If not, just set Batman back in ancient Japan. Like, he was already there. That's where he started out from, you know? I think that I at least just do that, like they did with that Jack the Ripper one. But yeah, I'm kind of done talking about this. So I give it a 5. It's fine. It's closer to a 4 than a 6. It's 5. The animation elevates it to a 5. If it was bad animation, I would give it probably a 4. It's very okay. It's very okay. I don't think I really need to see it again. Maybe I would be more interested, if I do see it again, I'd be more interested in seeing the Japanese dub with dialogue that actually makes sense, instead of Batman whining about Joker throwing bandsaw fans at him and complaining that
one, he doesn't bitch.
That he doesn't, yeah, he doesn't bitch about. Doesn't, oh, you're the one throwing them at me.
Another thing with this movie, with the English edition, the voice actors don't help it either. I don't think
the Batman voice actor's fine. The Joker voice actors, I didn't really like.
I like the Japanese voice actor for Joker better than the English.
Sure. Yeah, he kind of was annoying. And, like, they changed the animation for that one segment where Joker kind of forgets. I see what they're kind of doing. I wish if they did that, I kind of wish, like, throughout the whole thing, they just had different animators throughout the whole thing. Like, each kind of scene looked different. You know, then it would have been kind of, like, more of an aesthetic. But, like, since it's just one scene, it kind of, like, it just threw me off a little bit more than...
And that kind of reminds me more of Halo Legends, this animated like short like movie thing they had, and it's just a bunch of shorts of different animators, and had different stories, and they like threw it all together, and it kind of like just been a mix up. They never had a whole story together; none of the stories matched up, and then it ends up, I don't think it even became canon wise to this, like, the universe of that, too. So,
yeah,
like, they have to hit it in a good way.
That's what
they should.
That's what they do in Batman Gotham Knight. It's, like, different animated segments, and they're all different animation, and they're all different stories. So, like, each storyline is compact into, like, a little segment. You know, they're not, like, connected besides, you know, it's Batman, and it's just kind of what happened throughout. It takes place between Dark Knight and the Dark Knight Rises, or Batman Begins, and Dark Knight. It's in between one of those, so it's just kind of like his other adventures that he had outside the movies. I recommend that a lot more than this. If you want anime Batman, watch that.
I don't like all the characters that we mentioned that are pointless. We forgot to mention Bane, because Bane was
I forgot he was even in there. He shows up for literally 1 second. He was so pointless,
because the only part, like, I really missed him when I first watched the movie. I watched this like 3 times to process it, twice in English.
I probably should have watched it the second time.
And
probably will. But
The first time I really missed them until a certain part when they end up talking about, like, all the rogues having their own little setups. And they have a picture of, like, Bane just showing there and, like, as a sumo wrestler style. And I'm like, I don't recall him in this. Then, like, after I watched it again, and I was like, there he is. How did I not remember him being here the whole time? It was just a pointless setup because he ends up just intervening, Batman saving this woman and child. And it's just like, it shouldn't have really happened. It was basically, it kind of was more just to get Batman into his mech suit to save the woman from getting squashed by the robotic hand.
And then it turns out to be basically Harley Quinn. And that woman turns out to be Harley Quinn.
I don't think so.
It was just a trick. It was Harley Quinn, and she just pretended that she was a damsel in distress. Basically, mm-hmm. they did a Spider-Man 2 with Green Goblin pretending that he's a damsel in distress in the building.
Spider-Man 2?
No, Spider-Man 1, whatever the fuck.
Spider-Man 1.
Just Spider-Man. The one with Green Goblin in it, and he pretends that the building, that he's a damsel in distress. They did the same thing, but with Harley Quinn. That's what I just said.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
You're like just slowing down the projection of my point. Anyway, they just did the damsel in distress, but it ends up being an actual rogue. So basically, Batman saves her for nothing because it's not anyone worth saving because it's just Harley Quinn playing a trick on Batman. Yeah, so I'm done talking about this. Yeah, I give it a 5, closer to a 4 than a 6. Animation's good. Watch in the background, watch the Japanese dub. And that's it. Matt, you have any final thoughts?
Other than me doing my rating, no, I have no other thoughts. I give it a 6 for a good try.
Yeah, all right. Well,
that's what everyone else is. That's what everything else is rating as a 6, yeah. So I'm agreeing with them.
Yeah, I give it a, yeah. All right. Well, it's not like our ratings are too different. I thought you were going to give it a higher rating.
No, I enjoyed it, but no, there is a lot of plot holes and setups in it, but it's just a good watch. It's something that a different experience of Batman, and you see a different aspect that, like, a different way of watching it and seeing it into like a more of a traditional way that you've seen like an anime show.
Mm-hmm.
They like to add more supernatural or non-explained mythical things to this, to the characters' lives. Meaning, like, there's a part when they're throwing shit, they sped up Joker's speed. Joker never had that much speed to him. Batman was always the fastest one.
That's why it doesn't make any sense. You know, like, if they're going to give these
rogues
from, you know, these rogues, mm-hmm. Have them just be from Japan. You know, if you want to alter their powers, you could change them around a little bit. You have more free reign. But when they're set up that they're the rogues from the Batman we know from Gotham and they just time travel jumped, then it just stops. Then that's why I'm bringing up all these questions, because they brought it up themselves. Just have these characters be set up in ancient Japan and they just have these abilities on their own, like they're different characters. But, you know, Bane's still Bane, but he's Bane of Japan. But once they're from America, from our time period, jump back to Japan, and then they basically appropriate their culture, it just doesn't really make any sense. Like, Bane from, you know, Macho Libre, basically, becoming a sumo wrestler doesn't really make any sense because he doesn't have that cultural connection to Japanese culture. No. Why would he adopt that? You know, he wouldn't. None of these characters would really adopt it, besides maybe the Joker. I could see him having fun with it. That kind of makes sense.
We keep saying, like, none of them would adapt to it. Like, what we did agree on, Deathstroke would probably adapt to it the most.
Well, yeah, but they didn't
because
use
he probably he already practiced in that way of that, like, that kind of like art.
And they did nothing with them. So
no, they made him just a gun hole, a quad barreled gun.
They did absolutely nothing with them. And Two-Face being a samurai doesn't make any sense. That's why it's just like all, just don't set them up from art, like from American modern Gotham City. Set them up from, they just start out in ancient Japan. It's just a different version of Batman, a different universe. They're from Japan. Okay, good. You know, but once you bring it up that they're from modern times, from American Gotham, then it just, there's all, then all these questions are brought up and it just doesn't connect at that point. And yeah, it could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot easier transition, but they brought up these questions. So that's why I can't get into it, you know, because they're the ones who brought it up. Then just fix it and just set it up in ancient Japan, and all the problems are erased because it's already set there. You don't have to go through the time travel problems. So I'm done with this. This was Batyard's Finest sending you off. Up, up, and away until next Batyard's Finest episode.
Yep, and I'm Matt. I'm Superman's pal, Matt. Becoming super pals one episode at a time.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I was a little harsh, but yeah, it was okay.
You are really very harsh okay. with this movie.
It's very okay.
We talked about worse shit.
Yeah, I know we did talk about worse stuff,
and
but
you're cruel to this.
I'd rather have it be worse because it's more memorable if it's worse. You know, I think it's just more disappointing than anything. Okay.